Hey, it's great to be back. It is great to be in downtown Kings Mountain. It is super to be in your metropolis. It really is. This cosmopolitan area. It really is. I love you and I love this church and I've met so many of you in days gone by. And so let's get kind of reacquainted and if I'm supposed to know you, please be patient with me. I'll try my best to. I'll say, hey, great to see you again, you know, and give me that name again, you know, and I'll do my best to remember you. But nevertheless, let's get a chance to fellowship if we can. Please continue to pray, and please continue to ask the Lord to do something very, very special. Now, you're the Sunday school crowd. You're the folks who are going to, in just a few minutes from now, get up and start manning the parking lot. In fact, some are probably already out there and getting ready for the Donut Festival. Don't start thinking about that right now, would you? Please, stay with me. Give with me. Give me another 22 minutes of your time. But you've got things to do, and I understand that. I understand it, and I'm deeply appreciative of all that you're doing. But can we just for a few moments prepare ourselves for the days that we have ahead of us here? In these sweet days, Pastor and I and Brother Matt were praying a while ago that this could be, who knows, this could be our last day on earth. I don't know about you, but I want to finish strong. I want to cross the line saying, God, I gave it everything I could all the way to the very end. So let's this week, this may be the last revival meeting any of us will ever get to be a part of. When Isaiah wrote these words, when he proclaimed them and wrote them, you can see all over Isaiah something that through all the years of my ministry, I've wanted to maintain the balance in my own life. You see in Isaiah, you see straightforward conviction. I mean, he pulls no punches. I mean, he shoots straight. He tells people exactly what they need to hear. He gives warning when warning is needed. He obeys his God in the proclamation of the truth. But he does it with the balance of compassion. There is conviction and compassion. And I'm convinced that for all of us, if we will proclaim with conviction the truth, with compassion, it will begin to equal Christ-likeness in our life. Isaiah declares for us here a message that has that spirit all over it. You'll be able to see in a moment that he pulls no punches. But I believe you'll also see the compassion of the Lord all over him. And as we look at our days here together, I just want you to see what Dr. Isaiah prescribes for God's people. Because sometimes we get unhealthy. We get spiritually ill, and we don't even see it happening. Paul told Titus, speak in such a way that your people will receive and have sound doctrine. That word sound means healthy. That they'll be sound in the faith. Sound in charity. That your older women, the mature women, will likewise be sound in the faith. He says you need to help your churches to be healthy. We need to be spiritually healthy. Well, Dr. Isaiah gives a prescription. Let's see what he has to say. Look at verse 1, and we'll see the description and then the prescription of our condition. He says, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Skip down to verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. I want you to notice a word that gets repeated here three times in the passage that we've just read. Look, go back to verse 2. He says, hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have, now here's the operative word, rebelled against me. Now look at verse 5. Why should you be stricken any more? Ye will. Now the word that we have in our Bible is the word revolt. That word revolt is the exact same word that was translated rebelled in verse 2. Very same word. The translators could have given us the word rebel there, but it's given us as the word revolt. No problem. It's the very same word. He said, you will rebel, you will revolt more and more. Now look at verse 20. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's pretty obvious that the Lord is trying to tell His people that there is a spirit of rebellion that's creeping into their life. How many of you have a pet at home of any kind? I mean, you know, dog, I hate to say cat, but possibly cat, fish, you know, some little pet. We used to have, when I say dog, normally I want to refer to, you know, a dog. You know, I mean a dog, not a rodent. I mean a dog, you know. We used to have a rodent. We used to have a little Cocker Spaniel, and she was adorable. We loved her. We got her out in Arizona when we used to live out that way, and we loved that little dog. We called her Dusty. That's a strange name for a girl, but everything's Dusty in Arizona, so it just seemed to fit, so we called her Dusty. Anyway, Dusty was a beautiful dog. She loved us. We loved her. We loved her, and she loved us. It was wonderful. The only problem was she had a rebellious streak in her. We would take her outside. We traveled, and so we kept her on the inside all the time, but we'd have to take her outside for daily walks, and that dog would love to make a game out of going outside. She would take off running and would not come back, and we would have to plead with her. And so, I hated to keep her on a leash, but we'd have to keep her on a leash we'd spend an hour trying to chase her down. She just thought it was a game, and we'd say, oh, Dusty, stop it. And we'd call her back, and I'd say, Dusty, come here. Dusty, come here. I love you. I get down on my knees. I say, come here, Dusty. I love you. On the inside, I'm saying, wait till I get my hands on you. But, you know, I was saying, come here, Dusty, come here. And she'd get within an arm's reach of me, and I'd go, poof, she'd take off once again like a bolt of lightning. And I'm just saying, unbelievable. One day she got lost, and we couldn't find her. We could not find her. And for 3 days, she was gone. After the third day, a neighbor brought her to us and said, is this your dog? Yes. Thank you so much, you know, and who knows where she had been. And honestly, we lost her finally one day for good. We never found her again. Have no idea. Probably somebody snatched her up and took her home. Now, that dog was a wonderful dog. We loved her. She loved us. We got along. Only problem is she had a little rebellious streak in her. She loved to run away. Now, I'm going to start with me. Okay, because I don't want to get on your bad side our very first time together here. I'm going to point the finger at me. Of course, I do have three pointing back towards you, but I mean, I'm pointing at myself. Let me tell you something. Now, listen to me carefully. There's a little bit of rebellion in every one of us. There's a little sense of stiffening the neck that says, I don't want to do everything that I've been told in Scriptures to do. When Isaiah was writing these words and proclaiming these words, don't miss this. He was not talking to a bunch of people who had lifted their fist to the sky above and said, God, just get out of my life. That's not this crowd. These were offering giving people. These were song singing people. These were temple attending people. This would be what we would call in the New Testament vernacular, church attenders, Sunday school members, people who gave to the right causes, people who were very much involved. Okay, so you know what? We need to back up here and say, okay, what is God's definition of rebellion? Because if I put my definition on there, we tend to believe that it's always, honestly, it's what somebody else does. It's somebody else's choice of music. It's somebody else's choice of entertainment. It's somebody else's language. It's somebody else's lifestyle. It's somebody else's direction and philosophy of life. It's the way somebody, it's the way everybody else lives. It's not me. No, not I. I don't live that way. No way at all. Okay. Let's let Dr. Isaiah give us a quick description of this disease. Now look, I'm looking at folks who've been so busy serving your Lord for the last several months, maybe years in many cases, for some of the things that you've been doing for God's cause. Thank the Lord for that. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm giving you something that would be maybe for some of you more preventative than it is something that's trying to clean something up right now. But wherever you are, let's be reminded of what the Scripture says. These are good people who had gotten somehow or another spiritually ill. He said, the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. What do we see? Well, first of all, look at verse 2 again. Can I read it to you for the third time? Real quickly, he says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I've nourished, brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but when you study verse 2, originally written in Hebrew, you'll find the words hear and give ear with a magnification on those words. You say, what does that mean? It means, it was as if Isaiah was saying, listen to me! But more importantly, it was as if he was saying, for God, give me your, listen, look up, listen up, give me your attention. Now, if any of you've got kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, you've had to look at your kids and say, and I need you to take care of that. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Have you ever had to say that to your kids? Of course you have. Don't look at me like you got a bunch of angels in your home. You know what I'm saying. Listen, there's not a married couple in this room who's not, some man has not often heard from his wife. Are you listening to me? He's over. Yeah, I'm listening. And you're in trouble. You know what's next.
What did I just say?
What's the matter? Have you already forgotten what you said? Why are you asking me? I mean, come on, man. You might as well go bury your grave, make your own grave and bury yourself. The truth is, God is saying to His people, here's the first description, here's the first diagnosis, here is the description of this spiritual rebellion that creeps on all of us. Here it is. We become spiritually deaf. I was told a moment ago that we'll be having some sign language in the service for those who are unable to hear. Now look, you know what deafness is from the physical realm. Well, he's talking about being spiritually deaf. What's that? We get to the point to where we're not listening anymore. God is saying to His people, in fact, He says in verse 3, He says, animals listen to their masters better than my own people do. He refers to the ox and to the donkey. Now, wait a minute. An ox and a donkey are not considered most intelligent animals. You ever heard, you know, dumb as an ox? You know, and a donkey's not supposed to be that intelligent. Here's the deal. He's saying, but they're smart enough to listen to their master who's meeting their needs. And he goes, my own people, I don't have their attention anymore. Now, friends, rebellion comes when a person starts reading the Bible, but their mind is 100 miles away, and they're not listening to God. They come to church. They listen to the message. They sing the songs, give the offering, sing just as I am, and leave just as they were, because they weren't listening. You say, preacher, that's happened to me before. I know. There is this pull on us to get so busy with everything else under the sun that to sit still and know that He is God sometimes doesn't occur in our life. We just get on the machine and live our Christian life. I appreciate your pastor scheduling what's called a revival. What is a revival? Just a bunch of extra nights out? No. It is a resetting of getting things back where they need to be. Ever gone to a chiropractor? And he's supposed to put things back in order. You walk in and say, Doc, I don't know, but everything's slanted. Here, let me fix that. Oh, thanks, Doc. I'm not real sure. You may have gone too far. You know, you ever go to the eye doctor and said, optometrist, something's wrong with these glasses. They're not doing what they used to do. It's not that. It's those. Let me fix you up here. He has to reset the glass. A man has cranked up the engine on his vehicle, and he says, something's not sounding right. This thing's not firing on all cylinders. Some of you have the ability to just lift that hood and hit the defibrillator or something, and all, next thing you know, it's cranking up and running smooth as silk. And I mean, you just got it going great again. My point to you is that God's people get to the point to where we just go and go and go and go, and we hear and hear and hear, and we're not listening. Friends, I think about somebody like Samson in the Old Testament. How did he get so messed up at the end of his life? Here was a guy who was used of God. Here was a man who God's hand was on. And yet his eyeballs poked out and he winds up grinding meal in a dungeon. How did that happen? Somewhere along the way, he stopped listening to the warnings of God. God tried to get his attention. God spoke through his parents, and God spoke through a lion while he was walking in a vineyard. He was to have nothing to do with the grapes. How else can you explain someone like Demas, who hung out with Paul and heard the gospel and heard the word of God carefully and in a good teaching manner, the doctrine of the scriptures given, but he felt compelled to go back to the world because he stopped listening somewhere along the way? How else can you explain someone like Lot, who was in the home of Abraham, who was a follower of Almighty God? The Bible says that Lot was vexed in his righteous soul. We're going to meet Lot someday in heaven. But somewhere along the way, he said, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. The rebellion comes when we just become spiritually deaf. Has that begun to happen? Look at verse 5. Real quickly, we see also in verse 5, he says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt or rebel more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. He says, why should you be stricken? The word stricken there is the word discipline. It's the idea of being dealt with by God. God was simply saying, I can't even get your attention even when I bring suffering and discipline into your life. The New Testament word is the word chastening, which it sounds like a very harsh word. It's a correcting that the Lord brings into our life to bring us back under His guiding care. The Heavenly Father is a loving, caring, gracious, chastising, disciplinarian Father. And here He says, why should I continue to do that to my people? You're just going to continue to rebel. So what does that tell us? Not only do we become spiritually deaf, but secondly, we become desensitized. We don't respond anymore. When was the last time you heard maybe a message from your pastor? When was the last time you read your Bible and you said, oh God, dear Lord, I'm hearing from you. Oh God, that I rejoice in what you're telling me. When was the last time you raised your hand in prayer and said to the pastor, pray for me. God is dealing with me today. I needed this. How long has it been since you took a marker and you said, Lord, I don't know where I've been, but that is a tremendous truth. What a great promise. Oh God, I'm clinging to this one all day long today. What a great... Does that happen regularly? Probably for most of you. Maybe all of you. I don't know. I don't know your heart. It was said of Christmas Evans, an old itinerant preacher of yesteryear. He was traveling. He traveled on horseback from community to community, village to village. And as he was traveling, whenever he got into the next little village or hamlet, the people just stopped what they were doing because, you know, the preacher was there. And they'd come out and listen to him preach. And as he was riding in the woods, in a forest, on his way to the next community, he pulled his Bible out of his saddle bag and opened it up there on the saddle horn and began to flip through pages. And in kind of in a flippant way, he later said, I just started saying, well, what am I going to preach to this next crowd of people? When all of a sudden he realized how mechanical he had become, how just routine he was. He reined up on his horse and pulled over into the woods and got on his knees, and he later wrote in his journal that he said these words on his knees, Dear God, he says, I will not get up until you warm my heart again. He'd become desensitized. That happens to all of us. Don't let it happen for you. That's the quick description. There's much more there, but I'm going to move on. What's the prescription? Can you just give me 5 minutes and I'll be done? What's the prescription? Well, if you'll notice, please, look at verse 11. He says here in verse 11, he says, bring no more vain oblations in, I'm sorry, that's verse 13, verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord. Now verse 13, bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Okay, what's the prescription? What is the medicine? What do we need to do? Well, quickly, he gives us, first of all, that we need to have sincere reverence in our life. He's saying, you're praying, but your heart's not in it. You're giving offerings, but your heart's not in it. You're singing the songs, but you're not genuine about it. So what's he calling us to? He goes, if you want to get rid of this rebellious streak and this coldness and mechanicalness in your heart, have sincere reverence in your life. You say, preacher, can you clarify? It's the idea of us evaluating when we sing songs that we often sing that we're so familiar with. You need to check your heart. Am I sincere in what I'm singing? When I'm serving, am I sincere? Is this for God's glory or for something else? When I give, am I doing this because I want God just to be good to me? Or is there a sincere adoration of my Master, my God, as I give these finances? In all that I'm doing, is there a genuineness? Is there a sincerity? Nobody can answer that for themselves except each other. And it's okay and it's good to occasionally just evaluate, God, am I just going through the motions? Or is there a sincerity to this? Lord, I'm reading my Bible. Or am I just reading words? I have a friend who said that when he was a boy growing up in South Dakota, he said he would get home from school, he'd get off on the bus, and South Dakota, every home was, you know, a million miles away from where you got off probably from the school bus. And he would walk home from the school bus drop-off point. He always had to walk by his grandmother's house. As he was walking by his grandmother's house, he said, I always stopped every day. Because grandma always had fresh baked cookies, you know, because she knew I was going to stop by. And he said, boy, he goes, it was good to see grandma, but boy, I got to get some cookies. Man, it was great. I mean, you know, the gooey kind. I mean, just melt in your mouth kind. Do we have donuts? Let's dismiss here real quick. You know, I mean, just excellent, you know. He said, I loved it when I was a kid. He said, now that I'm an adult, he goes, I love to go see my grandmother, but not for cookies, just to be with my grandmother. He said, I got to the point to where being with her was much more important. What's the point? The point is sometimes we say, Lord, I'm going to go to church and Lord, I'm going to sing the songs and I'm going to read my Bible because I want you to be good to me. I want the cookies. Check your heart out. Is there a, I just want to be with you. That's all. I just want to hear your voice talk to me. The fact that you've saved me is more than I could ever deserve. The fact that you love me with a never-dying love is more than I deserve. God, I just want to sincerely be reverent and adore you. Number one, the answer is sincere reverence. And one more thing, look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, wash you. Now, Isaiah could have stopped right there. He could have put a period right there. Wash you, period. But he doesn't. He goes on to say, make you clean. He could have stopped right there. That's kind of a double emphasis. Make you clean, period. But he doesn't stop. What else? He goes on to say, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Boy, a triple emphasis. He's still not through. He closes verse 16 by saying, cease to do evil. Friends, every one of those phrases basically are the same thing. What in the world is the Lord saying through Isaiah? He's saying, finally, have sober repentance. He's saying be serious about calling sin what it is. You know, we get a little flippant about things. We get casual in our Christianity. And again, that's what a revival is to do, is to help awaken in us the fact that we've kind of gotten casual and flippant and mechanical and robotical. And he calls us here to sober repentance. Call sin what it is and make it right. It's not hard to get right with God as long as we agree with God that what we have in our life is disappointing to Him. Some sin of omission, sin of commission. Getting things right with the Lord. How important it is. How to eliminate the sickness of a cold heart, a rebellious heart, whatever word you want to use. How do we avoid this spiritual drift in our life? Have sincere reverence and sober repentance. Just a few days ago, I don't get to do this often, really, honestly, I hardly get to do this. I got to drive home. Someone said to me, if you could go anywhere in the whole world, where would you like to go? Home. You know, I just like to go see my home. We pulled into our home. Well, it's supposed to be springtime. Has North Carolina gotten the message that it's supposed to be spring? It's supposed to be getting warm. Okay, I pulled into my home, which is at this time, that's not going to be for much longer, but for at this time, Indianapolis, Indiana. And you know what was there to greet me? No, not Dusty, not my little dog. No. In my front yard were these little yellow flowers, weeds, waving at me. We're back. I said, I killed you boys last year. Yes, thank you for that food. It was delicious. We're back. You know what I did? I called the lawn care people. I said, get over here and kill these weeds in my yard. They said, we'll get on it tomorrow. And I said, thank you. Same people I asked to come out last year who supposedly killed it. You see, you can shoot them down and they can kind of dwindle down, but guess what? In the soil is that weed, and at times it comes back out. Someone says, you know, preacher, I've made things right with God before. Yeah, I know, but in the soil is a sin nature. It just keeps coming back, just keeps coming back. And what do? Take the word of truth and shoot at it again and say, God, I'm sorry. I repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to be right with you. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. I need to be finished. I'm looking forward to our days together. I want to be a help to Emmanuel Baptist Church. I want these to be sweet days for all of us. And I'm going to ask the Lord to do something special. I know that you already are. Can't wait for the morning service to begin. May the Lord give us wisdom even as we greet people. And we may even have folks here for the first time right now. May this be a day that we'll never forget. Would you bow your heads? Father, please help your people today to take a spiritual checkup, evaluation. As we've sat with Dr. Isaiah and listened to a quick evaluation of our spiritual condition, I pray with my whole heart that you'll allow us to be sensitive and sincere in our walk with you. And may we be open to what you're going to do. Now, Lord, be with us in the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Jim.